Welcome back to the Rolling Stones Celebrate 50. By the mid-70s, it was time for Ronnie Wood to take up his place in the Rolling Stones. Although he'd already played on a couple of Stones albums, it was Some Girls, released in 1978, that showcased his considerable talents for the first time. By then, the musical landscape was changing fast with the dawn of punk and disco, and times weren't easy for the Rolling Stones. Never ones to shy away from a challenge, the band hit the jackpot again. Here's Ronnie Wood and Charlie Watts.
We were always punk anyway, so all of your Whip Comes Down and things like that weren't, and just my imagination was another take on the great, you know, the great Motown boys. And, you know, we took a shot towards country and western mix, daring, bravado.
You know, Miss You was Mick and I being disco, because Keith would laugh at it, but I meant we did like disco records.
I've been holding out so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone, I've been sleeping all alone, I won't kiss you.
Miss You, which hit number one in the States. They also had a global hit with Beast of Burden, and the Stones were well on their way to becoming the ultimate stadium rock and roll band. Mick Jagger is the greatest frontman in the world, and it was during this period that he really hit his stride. So, exactly how do you learn to work an 80,000 strong crowd? Here's Mick.
I have little ways that I try and sort of get around it is I always like to go and look at the audience first while the opening act is on, because I can see where I can see them, because it's usually in the daylight, so I can check them out and see what kind of audience they are, what they look like, how they react. Just is that, if you want, going to a room at the party and kind of seeing the room a little bit first, so it's not a complete shock. And then also the way that the stadium is, because they're all a bit different. I mean, if you do a sound check, you can see what it's like. If you don't get to do a sound check, you're just the where they are, up, down, you know, maybe some are wider than others and so on. Then, you know, you get a little bit of a feeling for them. And then when you go on, you do see, you know, say maybe 5,000, maybe a few more. And then we have, there's quite a lot of people that just follow us around, so we get to know who they are, you know, by their flags and banners and the way they look, and you can even hear them shout. So it's kind of not totally anonymous as people would think.
Track that the Stones have started their live sets with hundreds of times over the years. That was Start Me Up from their Tattoo You album released in 1981 and now found on Gurr, their 3-CD hits collection. Speaking of live shows, when you've written and recorded as many amazing albums as the Stones, there's the tricky task of compiling set lists. As Charlie Watts explains, it's not always easy.
We have a bit of a problem there when we tour, because you always think, oh, we make this one totally different. But of course, you do have to play Satisfaction. You don't have to, and you can miss it out, but generally people would love to hear it. So it's quite difficult. And as the years have rolled by, as we say, you know, you're going to do Bitch or something. Maybe you shouldn't, but you look at the list. We've done it in rehearsals, you know. We play 160 songs out of the 600 we've got. Rehearse them, not seriously, but we play them. We don't actually rehearse them, we play them. And Mick has a problem that me and Ronnie and Keith, to an extent, don't have is that he's got to entertain this crowd that have turned up to see it. While we can very complacently look at each other and doodle away or play very nice, you know, and enjoy ourselves while he's entertaining this crowd that aren't interested in that. All they want to do is get down and us to play Roxoff or something.
As the band pushed on through the 80s and 90s, the Stones were emerging not only as the greatest rock and roll band in the world, but as the ultimate survivors too. From disco to punk and 80s pop to 90s grunge, the Stones stand head and shoulders above the rest. Speaking just a few weeks ago, here's Keith Richards explaining why.
Because we're damn good. You know, and we love what we genuinely love what we do. We do it for ourselves. And I don't mean that money-wise. Of course, you don't mind getting paid. That is not the driving force behind this band. It's sometimes I wonder, you know, there's like a, what do you really want to do, Keith? You know, you sit at home and say, oh, you can, you know, do a bit of painting or writing or whatever. But there's a certain magnetic sort of thing that you say, no, what I really want to do is play with Charlie Watts and Mick and Ronnie, you know. So in a way, that's the thing, you know, it's the force that is indescribable.
Your love is strong and you're so sweet. You make me hard, you make me weak. Your love is strong and you're so sweet. And someday, babe, we got to meet. A glimpse of you was all it took. A stranger's glance, it got me hooked. And I follow you across the stars. I'll look for you and see the
side one of the Rolling Stones' 1994 Voodoo Lounge album, Love is Strong. 50 years is a long time in the rock and roll business, but the Rolling Stones show no signs of slowing down. They've been hard at work celebrating their anniversary year, and they're going to round it off with five incredible live shows. Two at the O2 Arena in London, two in Newark, New Jersey, and one in Brooklyn, New York. But that's not all. There's the brand new best of album, Grr. True to form, they couldn't resist getting back in the studio to record two new tracks to include. Let's bring it right up to date and finish this Rolling Stones 50th anniversary special with Ronnie, Mick, and Keith's thoughts on the new single Doom and Gloom.
Well, it's hard in this day and age to come up with a new song, which Mick had in the forefront of his mind, and I think he kept it the same as Keith did with One More Shot. Keep it simple, keep it rough and ready, and just let nature take its course. And I think that's what happened in the studio. We did one track on a Tuesday, One More Shot, and then the Wednesday we recorded the Doom and Gloom, and then Thursday we were doing overdubs. Normally it would have taken us 6 months to do that in the old days. So the new efficient Rolling Stones are happening.
You can do anything you want with what you've got. So, especially now more than ever, but you always could. That was the whole point of it. So after you've got all the raw material, you can mess around with it whatever you want. But of course, it's got to sound like you just recorded it just like that, which of course it does. It never is, and not from the first time that I ever recorded, because the recording studio is just a great big tool. So you want the musicians playing wonderfully well, getting on together, agreeing about everything, which you know is quite easy with the Rolling Stones, have done it for so long. But then after that, you've got to do your overdubbing. So it isn't really like a going in and thrashing out and then walking out the door. It's not like that.
I think a lot of the energy about it is just because we hadn't been working together for quite, you know, I mean, let's face it, 5 years off the road, you know. I was getting antsy. And so Mick and I came up with a couple of songs, and Doom and Gloom is, at the first I said, Mick, you know, this is kind of a weird title for 50 year celebration, you know. But I said, yeah, well, you know what the Stones are like, you know, it's always like against the grain. But it's a great track he came up with, and very quite funny song, actually. I mean, some great lyrics. And we banged out a couple of tracks in Paris about a month ago, and Doom and Gloom and One More Shot. It was interesting to me that I don't think the Stones have ever cut a track so fast. You know, it was like three takes and bum. You know, we were looking at each other and going, got anything else? And it was, you know, it was amazingly quick. And the Stones are amazing that way. Like their chemistry and their energy when they get together. The hard bit with the Stones is getting them together. Yeah, I mean, once you've got them in a room and sitting in their appropriate places, like Charlie's behind the drums and a couple of guitars, I mean, even after all these years, it's amazing feeling. You say, there must be somebody else in the room, and you go, there's Mick, there's me, there's the Charlie and Ron. And you realize that there is this other entity that's sort of driving things, you know, so, and whatever his name is.
Doom and Gloom, one of the two new songs from the Rolling Stones' 50th anniversary hits compilation, Grr, and the last song of our show. The Rolling Stones' 50th anniversary special was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Universal Music Enterprises, all rights reserved. No portion may be used without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Elliot Kendall and Adam Starr at Universal. I'm Dan Near. Thanks for listening.